Blessed Independence Day. Today we celebrate the 4th of July on the secular calendar, but today is a special day in which we in the church, the 4th of July, call to mind all of the holy Roman pontiffs, the holy popes who have passed. Over the course of the year, we celebrate various popes who have been canonized and known to be holy and known to be in heaven, but today is the day where we mention all those others, especially those popes who died that we know very little about in their life. Especially those popes of the early centuries who gave their life holding up the church in Rome, even in the greatest persecutions that the church had known in its earliest days, which in truth pale in comparison to the persecution which the church is currently experiencing even today in various parts of the world, like China, like parts that are under Muslim control today, like other parts of the world, like Vietnam, where the church is greatly persecuted and martyrdoms are daily being added into heaven. So today, when we celebrate those and remember those, we also recall the great blood sacrifice and treasure which so many patriots have offered that our nation might be free. We thank God for the sacrifice of those brave men and women who've given so much, paid the ultimate sacrifice, not just that we here in the United States might be free, but one of the great graces of how great our nation is there's kind of like this sense within the United States of America that there's this evangelical drive, meaning that's something that we've experienced, having our nation being one as we proclaim every time we say our Pledge of Allegiance, that we note that we are a nation founded beneath the power and beneath the great blessings of God. Just as the early disciples, the popes, the great missionaries of the church went forth and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ about how to have salvation, so too the United States, our mission, seems to be to export the same kind of love and self-sacrifice which is founded upon the Gospels. Today we live in a time where so often our founding fathers are called into question saying, well, they weren't really Christians. They didn't really believe. They believed that God was a deistic God, that he was just out there somewhere who spun the world up and then sent us about on our way to do whatever, but he's not really intimate within our own lives. But that's a false statement. When you read their actual writings and you see how they beseech God in an intimate way, that he would be upon the founding of this nation, that he would guide and direct all things, that he would lead us to our ultimate end. A deistic person has no need for prayer because God doesn't care, in their opinion. But our founding fathers consistently beseeched God and made deeper conversion to him and said that the government of the United States is not fit for anyone except a religious and virtuous people. So at this time, we seek to deepen that realization within our own selves. The question is, what can we do here in Santa Rosa to be able to expound the freedom that is supposed to be the heir of all the peoples of the United States? You're doing it right now. You're at Mass. You're praying. We began this Mass doing what? Praying the Rosary. Our Lord is not calling us at this time to take up physical arms, to make use of our Second Amendment rights to bear arms. But what he is calling us to do is to take up the arms of the spiritual battle. Just as we've preached it out many times from this pulpit, it says in Galatians chapter 6, it says, your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual forces, against the spiritual powers of darkness of the ruler of this present age. That's who we're fighting against. There's not some sort of battle ideas that's going on in the marketplace or going on in the halls of Congress or going on in the talking heads that we see on TV and the news programs. Those are not the opponents who are there, Democrats or Republicans or whoever, left and right, whatever. That's not what's really going on. What's really going on is a spiritual battle. And so to recognize, to fight a spiritual battle, we don't use the methods of this world, the methods even of great rhetoric, or even of greatly crafted arguments. Those have their place. But the weapons which we use to fight a spiritual battle are spiritual weapons. We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Which is the Word of God. We make sure that our feet are fashioned with the preparation of the gospel so that we can go for boldly wearing our Lord. We make sure that we have the blessed plate of righteousness, which is not our righteousness, but rather, as the reading which we read at the beginning of this Mass, is Christ's righteousness, Christ's good deeds, which we wear before us. We put upon the helmet of salvation, which covers our head so that the attacks of the evil one in the world and everybody who tries to beat down our religion has no effect, because we know that everything is guarded by the Lord's promise of his bringing us to salvation. That's the virtue of hope. We wear across ourselves that which holds everything together, the belt of truth, which is our Lord's truth, which is his very self. And we take above all that shield of faith with which we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, of the flesh and of this world that seek to destroy us. We take in our hands as well the blessed rosary of Our Lady. We can go on time and time again pointing out the various times where wars have been stopped because Catholics prayed the rosary, where families were brought back together because they prayed the rosary, where souls who had given themselves to worshiping Satan were brought back into the fold of Christ because the rosary was prayed on their behalf. These are the weapons that we have to take to fight so that our nation can once again be free. We experience a modicum of freedom, and things have gotten better over the past couple years with regard to religious freedom. But the battle is still being waged. There was a president we had back in the 80s, and he said this famously, something which we should hold to our hearts, that he spoke about the American dream. And the freedom which holds that dream in place. And he says, our freedom is only one generation away from extinction. And so it is always upon us today to continue to pray. One of those commemorations within the Mass that you hear me go back to why I say a number of opening prayers, or I'll say a number of offertory prayers, or I'll say a number of secret prayers, a number of post-communion prayers. The first one is for the Mass, which is fixated upon our holy pontiffs who have given their lives. The second one is focused upon prayer for our nation. A third one that we pray is focused upon the expansion of religious freedom, specifically in our nation, but also throughout the whole of our world. Let us ask our Lord for the grace during this time, as we celebrate this Mass, to really expand not just within our own hearts, but in the hearts of all Americans, and especially this day, a true desire for independence from a reliance upon the secular state, and a more profound, deep dependence upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only King to which our heads should bow and our knees should bend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.